You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The Lord. But when you see that, when he says, you know, anyone who loves, like, you have four children, you're a rich, rich man in the spirit realm. You have a beautiful wife. You have a ministry, 42 years down in South America. You've got all these accoutrements of success, real success. I mean, how do you, like, your children? So you're supposed to love Jesus. If you love your children more than you love the Lord, you're not worthy of him.
Well read. Okay, so the point that I think we want to make here is, first of all, that yes, not only our family we have to give up to the Lord, but all of our possessions, that he's really the owner of it all, okay?
Yeah.
And my children, I changed their diapers, I fed them, I educated them, and at some point, I'm going to depart and go on and leave them. They're not going to be there waiting for me. They're not going to seat me next to him wherever it is. They're not going to give me the things that in this next realm that I'm supposed to have. They're just along for the ride, just like I am. Our greater allegiance should be toward our Creator rather than the family that he's given us. But I think the point that Jesus is making here is when you give to the poor is to understand that God owns it all. Whatever possessions we have, we really don't own them. We're just stewards of what he's given us.
I'd like to tell a story here, a short one.
Let me just finish the thought, and then that we're just the managers of these resources. And so the principle I get from this particular passage is that helping others, especially those in need, is a top priority for God's people. And this should be considered just normal, continual behavior. We should be free to give the things that he has given us.
Okay, so I'll once again, of course, I'll lose the reward here, but that's okay. It was around Christmas time, I'd given this waitress who looked very poor, you know, a gift. And she started to cry, I started to cry. And I went back out to, Barbara was in the ladies' room, and I went back out to the car, and I had tears in my eyes. And, you know, it felt good to do some good and what I thought was good. And all of a sudden, I swear I felt the Lord say, give it now. Because where you're going, they will not need your money or your gold. Give it now. And I thought, wow, what if this is a little window in time of all eternity where we have the chance to give? Because when you get there, we don't need it then. Can you imagine being a billionaire? You're rising up out of your body and you look down and go, I needed security. So I have all these big numbers in a bank account, but I could have fed those people. I could have given to that camp for kids. I could have fed the hungry, all the things they could have done. And now you know what? The door is forever shut. It's no longer your dough.
That's why I said a little earlier that you can't take it with you from this life into the next. But I think I think we can actually send it ahead. I think God wants to, first of all, he's looking to see who he can trust with greater wealth. So he gives us opportunity to give to people that have needs. And Proverbs says, when you lend to the poor, you're lending to God and he's going to repay you. So, okay, this is one of the principles of God's creation. It's how his creation works. So us freely giving of something that was given to us, I mean, why would we think we would have ownership of it, you know?
Well, you know, it's like even our very bones. I sold a house. I lost a house when I was a kid, and I had another house in Vero Beach, and I had it for 23 years, but I understood I didn't own it. I was it starts with an H. It's outside of Las Vegas because I don't gamble. I don't like any of that stuff. But I was visiting there a couple of years ago to somebody in the family, and I was going into I borrowed an old car.
Henderson.
Huh? Yes, Henderson. And I was going into the Walmart. Well, there's a guy standing there, and he did look like Jesus. He had a beard and long hair. Maybe it was Jesus. I don't know. But I looked at him and I said, "I'm 70 years of age. You're asking me for money. I still have to work." my radio show and her magazine in order to pay the rent. And I said, you want me to give you look able-bodied with his legs and hands? I thought, I'm not going to give to him. But hear what happened. I start to go under the frame of the door. And then I leaned back and I said, hey, are you hungry? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, come on in. And we ended up sharing a Miami Subs cheesesteak sandwich. And all of a sudden I realized, well, this is great because I don't like eating alone. I said, here I invited him in. I never have to eat alone again. I get to help him eat, and I get companionship. We had a great conversation. And then, of course, I needed something done to the car that I was borrowing with the headlights. They had gotten foggy. And so I decided, well, I won't take away his dignity. I said, can I hire you for a few minutes to help scrub this because you're young and strong? And so he cleaned the lights, and I was able to give him something. But I also gave him the dignity of having earned it, you know? And so it was really a great moment.
Well, there was a great moment because you suddenly stopped and you set aside your own self-centered behavior. Oh, yeah. I got to work. Wait. The only person that gives you the ability to work and the opportunities to work is the king himself. And you suddenly realized that and you said, well, okay, now I'm going to invite this person into my life and share the things that God has given, and look how it turned out. So,
And you never know. It says we've entertained angels unaware. You know, I mean, you never know. I mean, you know, when some creepy person comes up to you, you know, they say Jesus was not handsome, that we should take notice. It says right in the scriptures, he was not handsome, that we should take notice of him. So he wasn't this beautiful, blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy. Matter of fact, he had dark skin. You've been to Israel. You've seen the Nazarenes. They're like, they're not black, but they're not white either. They're kind of like in the middle. Well, wow, that's kind of...
I don't try to look at Jesus in any particular racial profile. I just think I think he came to be inconspicuous among the people group he decided to be with. So, Rhett, let's move on here to the next, verse 5. Can you read verse 5, 6, and 7?
No, verse 5, let's see. Okay, yes, the model prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask.
Okay.
Therefore, pray.
Okay, so... this is now Jesus is talking to us. How do we communicate with our Heavenly Father? Okay. First of all, don't be like the hypocrites. You know what that Greek word means, hypocrites, right? Actors. The actors, the guys at the amphitheater doing the dramas, Aeschylus, Euripides, Sophocles.
Okay? Hippocrates.
Okay, Hippocrates. No, hypocrites are actors. They're acting. They're not really genuine, okay? That's why they stand... pray in the synagogues or on the street corners. They're letting people know they pray. They're very loud, using meaningless repetition. Prayers are not a magical formula that will cause God to do things that he doesn't want to do, first of all. And our conversations with him really should be mostly private. But it's also very helpful when I'm praying with my other friends, like yesterday at our Tuesday morning men's group. We had some really nice prayers for the wives, for other people. It's important to pray with your friends, okay? But you see, our chats with God should really reflect the relationship that we have with him as our Heavenly Father. And because he already knows our needs before we begin talking. God is not some heavenly butler there to do the things that we think we need him to do. So the next line, Jesus says, pray then in this way. Okay, now he's going to give us an outline. He didn't say pray these words. He said pray in this way. And the first line is our Father who is in heaven. All right? So it seems the first thing we're to do is to acknowledge our parental and intimate relationship with Yahweh. You see, because the Bible declares that the only right that we have And John lists this in his first chapter. Remember, Rhett, when he wrote, as many as received them, he gave them the right to become children of God. Okay? That's the only right that we have that's listed in the Bible, to be children of God. Think about that for a moment.
I can think of nothing better than that.
Right. A father and his children. This is the prescribed relationship between us and God. Now, according to Jesus, we must adopt this attitude in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Matthew 18 records this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set before him and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So I think what
now, Jesus, where is that written?
This is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4.
Okay, so, I like that. Humbles himself.
Right. So it appears that Jesus is saying, unless we change from an adult mindset to that of a child, we're not going to be welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this has been such a good meditation point for me, Brett, because I'm constantly examining myself to see if I'm walking as a child of God or as a rebellious adult. I'm constantly finding myself being the rebellious adult, doing whatever the heck I want to do and saying whatever the heck I want to say, but I'm not walking as a child of God. Now, imagine if all of us followers of Jesus became very active in following him as with this attitude of a child, okay, that we trust him to lead us daily as he gives us things to accomplish, that we allow him to teach us all the vital things about this life, that we trust him to provide what we need even when it's risky and goes against all of our logic, that we wouldn't allow any offenses or anger to affect our relationships that we have with friends and family, that we actually talk to him and be honest with him, and we talk to him about our issues, as children do talk with their parents.
Yeah.
And that we walk in obedience in the small decisions of our lives, and we follow him in the big decisions, going where he tells us to go, doing what he calls us to do, and most importantly...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
The speed.